Good afternoon. Feels good to come in here on a Monday after a big win by our football team. Just it was fun watching that tape with the staff today and just going through it and reviewing some of the positives by our football team. On an injury front, we had some good news regarding Mr. Raymond. There's no fracture. He does have a significant ankle injury. He suffered a bone bruise around that ankle. But the good news is, it doesn't look like we're going to have to put him on IR, but he will miss some time for sure as he's in recovery. No high ankle sprain, just good news all the way around. It looked as if it may have been something that would require surgery. That's not going to be the case. Jared is better with his neck spasms. We'll see how he does throughout the week, but nothing significant there after they did the MRI and took a look at it. Aaron Henderson was still kind of in a wait-and-see mode just to see where he is. Has not passed the concussion test yet, so we're still in a wait-and-see mode there. I think DeAndre Reed was the only other guy that was banged up at the end of last week, and we'll learn more about him. I think he had a calf muscle pull or strain, so we'll learn a little bit more about him as the week goes on. Other than that, we came out pretty good. You know, a few bumps and bruises here or there, but just a great team win by our football team. Great job by our staff getting the guys prepared to go out and play against a very good football team, a physical football team, and like the way our players really accepted the challenge that was presented to them throughout the week as we are, you know, trying to adhere to what we want our identity to be as a football team. We want to be a smart football team. We want to be a tough football team. We want to be a disciplined football team. And I thought there was evidence of that throughout the game yesterday. There were a lot of areas that kind of speak to the type of team characteristics we want to embody. And we got a lot of work ahead of us. There's no question about it. But we saw some things in that ball game yesterday that gives us some hope that we're definitely headed in the right direction.
How do you think Jamarca played, and having him versus Mistrell, does that limit at all what you can do defensively?
I thought he did a good job when he got in there. He had the one play down the sideline with Davis, who presents a lot of problems for anybody that tries to cover him in a one-on-one situation. But other than that, he tackled well, had a big tackle against Gore in open field. Which was good to see, was good on his assignments. I thought he did a real good job. As far as limiting us and what we do defensively, it really won't. He practices the same defenses that Mistrell would practice if he were in there. We won't really alter things a great deal. It just means that he'll have more opportunities to make plays, but we'll still, you know, call a defense the way we've been calling it.
It was just a bone bruise on Mistrell, nothing in addition to that with any ligament damage or?
No, he subluxed the ankle, which, you know, creates a little pain and tension for him for sure, but nothing other than that. So,
how do you balance the momentum and confidence you gained off this win with the reality you can be humbled pretty quickly in this league?
Well, all you got to do is look around the league, you know, and see what happens from week to week. There are so many teams you think are going to be favorites at their home venues or even on the road that come up short. It's a very humbling league. It's tough to win in the NFL. And I think our guys, even though we have a young team, they're beginning to realize that. The fact that on every Sunday in the National Football League, I mean, if you're not on your game, you have a chance to be on the downside of the win-loss column. So that's the reality of the NFL, and our guys are learning that. And we have to play at a high level every time that we walk on the field in order to have a chance to be successful. So I think they're seeing what's happening around the league to understand that this week our focus has to be on point as we're preparing for our next opponent.
Lance, a number of guys talked about the game plan afterwards and how they felt going in that it was going to work. Having been on both sides, what kind of confidence does it give players when they get a game plan on Wednesday that they believe in and trust will work?
Well, it definitely makes a difference. There's no question about it. But, you know, it still comes back to players making plays. You know, I've been in situations where the plan may not have been what I thought it should be from a player standpoint, but I also knew that when I lined up, you know, I had to be able to handle my responsibility, and that's all you can do. And you don't ever want to get into a situation where you're wondering if our game plan is good enough for us to succeed. I always felt like it was my responsibility to make the game plan work, and I want our players to feel the same way. Our coaches are going to always try to get them the best game plan possible, but there are going to be things that happen in the course of the game that aren't going to be just like you thought they would be in the week that you were in preparation for that team, and then you have to adjust as the game goes on. And that means sometimes, am I good enough to make that adjustment, whatever that may be, from a one-on-one standpoint? So, you know, sure enough, you love to have the perfect game plan every week, but sometimes it's about my being able to line up and whip the guy across from me.
Unless there's no book on fourth, when to go for it on fourth downs. How do you know when to pull the trigger, and how do you know when the impact of converting outweighs the risk of getting stuffed?
I think sometimes, Mark, it's a feel for the game, and then where you are in the game and what you think your team is capable of doing. And that's kind of the way I've tried to do it, just looking at the situation, where we are, what I think our team is capable of doing, and what impact it could have on our team, either positive or negatively. You know, what kind of impact could it have?
Got into that situation? I mean, it seemed like it was pretty decisive, like you were going to do this.
Well, I thought about it during the course of the series. You know, we put together a pretty good drive there, and once we got down, I think it was second and three or four, and, you know, I was thinking ahead, you know, if we get to a fourth and one, a fourth and two, you know, what do we want to do? And so when we got stuffed on third down, right before third down, I told Bill, we're in four down territory. We're going to go for it unless we get backed up. You know, if something happens, they push us back to the five or six, then we, you know, probably wouldn't. But I wanted him to be thinking ahead as well, you know, put together a fourth down play if we're on the 1 or 2 yard line.
Do you always give him one heads up on a fourth down?
I try to give him a heads up, yeah.
How much of that was mentality too, and just kind of setting a tone for your guys?
It had a lot to do with it, Brian. You know, it was important, I thought, from my standpoint, to let our players know that, and I talked to them all week, that we were going to be aggressive, we weren't going to back down, you know, da-da-da-da. So didn't want to, you know, them to think that we didn't have confidence that we could score from 1 yard out in that situation at that point in the game. And that was another scenario a little bit later in the game where it may have come down to a fourth and one, but we was third and one. I think Adrian got the first down, where my mindset was a little bit different. We were up 17-13. And I was thinking before we got to that point that if we don't get this first down on third down, we're going to kick a field goal and not let them have a chance to go down and score a touchdown to take the lead. You know, they were going to have to tie. So some of it depends on where we are in the game as well, to answer your question, Mark.
Process what happened with Toby late in that game and make sure that it's not something that he sits on for a full week.
You know, he'll look at the tape. You know, we'll look at it with him and talk him through the situation. And we have a lot of confidence in him, obviously, to continue to give him the football. But we know we're going to need Toby to make big plays for us throughout this season, and we got to keep his confidence up. We know he's capable of holding on to the football. He usually does a very good job at that. So we don't want him to go in the tank and get down. We need him to keep his head up and keep playing for us. But the balance of calm and just encouraging him and letting him know we believe in him. But we'll make the corrections that we have to make.
Were you able to figure out at all, watching it back, what was happening there?
No. I mean, a couple of those, that one of those fumbles, I mean, it was a routine tackle. And, I mean, you just got to keep the ball high and tight and protect the football in that situation. They need the ball. We've been through that situation a bunch of different times. 4 minutes, you know, we know we have to protect the football. We know they're trying to take the ball away. And we trust Toby to protect the ball in that situation. He usually does. But, you know, we'll have to get better at it for sure.
When you go back and look at those couple long kickoff returns that Kyle Williams had, what were the breakdowns there?
Well, we didn't stay in our lanes. You know, we had some guys who didn't, were not where they should have been, didn't take on blocks the way they needed to take on blocks, and it cost us, and it's something that we have to get fixed. I'm sure when our next opponent looks at the tape, they're going to come, probably maybe the first return of the game will be that same return. So we'll have to make sure we're where we're supposed to be and that we're separating from blocks. We didn't do a good job of that on both of those long returns.
Any inclination to switch up personnel there to cure that?
We'll talk about it some more today as the day goes on. We think it's more – I don't want to say that. We'll wait until I talk to some of our players when they get in the building here in a little bit.
Look at the tape. Was this the best game by the offensive line so far?
I think collectively, yes. And then you consider the front that they were going up against. I mean, that's a very good front. And for Charlie to do as well as he did – against Justin throughout the day, for Matt to do as well as he did against Alden. I mean, it was a good performance across the board. I thought John did a good job, Brandon and Phil as a group. To rush for 146 yards on that defensive line or that defense, it's pretty impressive. And a lot of the credit has to go to our offensive line. Our backs did a good job. Adrian had a terrific day, a hard day, but he got some tough yards for us. But our offensive line, they created some holes to allow us to get those tough yards.
Kyle obviously doing a lot and feeling more comfortable, especially in the end zone. But on the other side, he's been throwing a lot of blocks, as John Carlson has. And I know Adrian was really praising them. How important is it that even though it's the unsung part of their job, that they keep doing that, and they've been doing it pretty well?
Yeah, I mean, that, down for Kyle, I mean, that was the one point of emphasis throughout the offseason with him, to improve his blocking. We all know how good of a pass catcher he is. He runs very good routes. I mean, he's one of those guys that Christian is very trusting of when it comes to catching the football. But he has worked his tail off on improving his blocking, and that's been big for us. His teammates see it, and it's starting to really come for him in the run game, which is very, very important for us, the way we want to try to run the ball. And now that John is in the mix and we're trying to help him improve in his blocking as well. But the fact that Kyle has become a good point of attack blocker, that's going to help our run game really take off to the point where we feel much more comfortable about running in his direction as opposed to having to have all our runs away from him. So it's good.
With the guys answering that physical challenge, how do you just keep that aggressiveness going and replicating it, you know, going forward here?
Well, we got to keep emphasizing that that's the style that we want to play. And I think they've bought into that. Now we just got to keep emphasizing as a staff, and they got to believe in it and not, you know, feel like we got to play in a different way. Just because someone else has success doing it this way or that way, this is how we are successful. And I think this will go a long way, Brian, in helping our guys to believe that this is the way we have to play to be successful.
Was it one of your more aggressive games? I mean, the fourth and goal, and also at the end of the half, not sitting on the ball?
I don't know about that. It's just the mindset has always been there. Just the situations coming up and our guys executing those situations, it makes you look like you're doing something right. But, you know, we've had some other situations, as we all know, where I've gone for it on fourth and one and it didn't work out. And you hear the repercussions of that. So just our guys doing a great job of executing in some key situations.
What's going to be your plan this week with Jerome?
Well, we'll get him on Wednesday, and, you know, he's already been in our meetings, but we'll get him integrated into what we're doing. We want to utilize his talents as soon as possible. He's chomping at the bit to get out there and help us, but we want to get him integrated right away.
So what's going to be the resulting roster move? I mean, and when do you make that?
Well, there's a 3-day exemption with him. Rick was taking us through this morning, so we don't have to do anything until Thursday after 3 p.m. So we'll make a decision here in the next, you know, couple of days about what direction we want to go from a roster standpoint. So for the next few days, we'll be able to practice with 54.
What's the biggest challenge of getting him up to speed, knowing that his last full game action was late August?
That's going to be a little bit of a challenge for him. The contact part of it, wearing the pads again, the speed of the game. But the good thing is he's a veteran player. He's been in the league for a while. But it's still different, you know, when you've been away from it now for the period of time that he has. So, you know, we'll just have to kind of see how he does in practice, and that'll probably determine how much, you know, we'll get him involved early on in the game. But we got to bring him along. We want to utilize his gifts, and we definitely want to be able to take advantage of his talents.
What are the biggest benefits of having him here and, you know, just being able to have him around for these last 3 weeks?
I think it's good for him to have been around his teammates so they could continue to get to know him better. Get a feel for how he studies in meetings. Does he pay attention to meetings? Just being a part of the culture, I think, was a good thing for him and good for his teammates to be around him as well. And then he's hearing the wide receiver coach, George Stewart, talk about assignments. He's listening to Bill Musgrave install the offense and the game plan for that week. So he gets a feel for what the in-season routine is like as opposed to what he experienced in the preseason. So all of those things, you got to think, puts him ahead of the curve, the fact that he was able to be involved as much as he was.
You spent two high picks last year on Ponder and Rudolph. Just how have you seen their relationship develop over these 2 years, and what kind of personality do they have to click together, or how big is that for them going forward here in your offense?
I think it's big, and I think it shows up on the field, John. I mean, those guys are close friends off the field, and they do a lot of things together, a lot of charity work along with, you know, hanging out together. So it carries over to what happens doing games. I mean, that's without question one of Christian's favorite targets, you know, trying to get the ball to Kyle, and for good reason. You know, Kyle usually comes through for him. So it means a lot that they have the type of relationship that they have. For a quarterback, sometimes the tight end becomes a security blanket, and that's what Cal has become for him in so many ways. And a lot of it has to do with their relationship off the field as well as what happens on the field.
But you talked very early in training camp about eliminating sort of a defeatist attitude and being able to manage adversity. Well, now suddenly, you know, expectations are kind of heightened. How do you channel that and avoid sort of coming out flat like you did in Indy coming off a win?
Well, I hope that we all learned a lot from our preparation a couple weeks ago now, and we're maturing as a team. Hopefully we'll get to that point. It seems like we are, but it's definitely something you have to guard against. I mean, there'll be a lot of people telling our players a lot of positive things this week, and I'm sure they got a lot of phone calls yesterday, but just like what Joe asked me earlier, in our league, I mean, it can change like that. So our players have to understand that. They have to remember the hard work they put into last week and the focus that they brought to practice every day and how much they did not want to be embarrassed at home. They got to carry that same attitude on the road this week, which is going to be tough. I mean, tough environment. So we as a staff have to get them to understand how tough it is to win on the road and how important it will be for us to have the same type of focus, even better focus, this week in practice.
Time for two more.
You know, he came in, he lost out on the starting job, but kept himself ready. Can you talk about what that says about him as a professional to be ready to step in a game like that and make a couple of pretty key plays?
That's a good question, because Jamarker really had his heart set on being a starter this season. He worked his tail off throughout the offseason. I was really looking forward to it, and there's no doubt that was disappointment when he wasn't named one of the starters at safety. And tried to encourage him. You know, when we made the decision to let him know that, you know, how quickly things can change in our league, you keep your head up, keep working hard. And to his credit, he's done that. You know, he's had a good attitude. He wanted to be on the field, but he understood, you know, why we did what we did, why we went in the direction that we did. And so when he had his opportunity to see him come in and play as well as he did and the role that he had after being a backup, it's a great example to the rest of our players. What he did on special teams and what he has done in absence of being a starter, just a great example for the rest of our team. So, I mean, those are the kind of guys you want on your club. You know, everybody wants to start, but we talk to them all the time about everybody can't start. You have to be willing to accept your role in order for our team to have a chance to be successful, and he's an example of that. I mean, if a guy's a third corner or fourth corner, he's got to accept that role. If he doesn't, if he's a malcontent in the locker room, and he's pulling guys in another direction than where we're going, those guys are a problem, even though they're talented. Jamarca is not like that. He's accepted his role, and, boy, he played well for us yesterday.
Special teams now that he's going to be playing?
We'll have to discuss his role on special teams now that he's going to, you know, get more snaps. He's a very good special teams player. We'll probably have to temper that a little bit on special teams with the snaps he'll get on as a regular starter.
There were a handful of situations yesterday where the defense was handed a short field or with their backs against the wall after a kickoff or a fumble. In the past, those have kind of been the oh-no moments where things begin to unravel. What was different yesterday about the way that they handled that adversity?
I think our guys are really getting back to that attitude that, you know, that was a point where our defense could win games for our team or keep us in games and give us a chance at the end of games. And we kind of talked about that earlier in the week. Antoine went back and talked about that, and some other guys talked about it during the week. Chad, you know, just getting that feel back where our defense controls the situation, and they did a great job after that long kickoff coming out of the half that could have been disastrous and really turned the momentum if we don't hold them to a field goal there. And to come up with that stop along with the stops after the turnover was late, it's just huge for our confidence and should help our defense and our team going forward. But as much as what we do is well on offense, I still believe that in order for us to go where we want to go, our defense has to be playing at a high level. And yesterday they played at a high level against a very good offense, a very balanced offense. So.